It's a fairly long account, but it's important that we read that whole section. David and Goliath, the account we read from 1 Samuel 17, it's often reserved, isn't it, for Sunday school lessons or children's books. And it's easy to see why. The story captures the imagination of children and captures their attention. It's great to teach children and young people these accounts. We shouldn't shy away from looking at these accounts as adults. Actually, when we look at this account, we realise that there's some rather grown-up content here. David cuts off Goliath's head and takes it with him. So then, let's look together at this account under 3 points. We'll look at this under 3 points. Firstly, the enemy we face. The enemy we face. We know that David faced this giant called Goliath. I don't think we're told exactly how tall David was, but he was not tall in stature, and is described in our passage here as being a youth or a boy, probably not even fully grown. Goliath, on the other hand, is described as being 3 meters tall, a champion. Let's get some scale here. This is probably the average height of a soldier, 5'8". And this is how tall we're told Goliath is, 9'6". David is probably a little bit like me, midget, in front of Goliath. This enemy that David faced was big. But it wasn't just his size that made him imposing. Picture in your mind for a moment what Goliath might have looked like. I looked on the internet for some illustrations, but there were quite a lot of them, all of them I saw. Good for children, but made him look a bit soft. And he wasn't. Picture in your mind Goliath for a moment. He's got this bronze helmet on his head. He's wearing a bronze coat of mail, and we're told it weighed 57 kilograms. I don't think anyone here could bear wearing that. And if we could, I don't think we could fight with it. Bronze armor on his legs, a javelin between his shoulders, a spear in his hand, and a shield bearer walking in front of him. This is an imposing character. We read that when Goliath asked for one man to come and fight him, the Israelites were dismayed and greatly afraid. The New Living Translation renders it, they were terrified and deeply shaken. In those days, when a people group was fighting with another people group, rather than send their whole army and the massive waste of life and the cost of that, it was fairly typical for them to select one person from each side. And that one person from this side and one person from this side, they would fight each other. And whoever won, that whole side was victorious. And whoever lost, that whole side was defeated. So the Philistines select for themselves their champion, Goliath. Philistines, known for being big, tall people, chose probably their tallest, strongest, most experienced in battle champion that they had. We're told that the Israelites fled in fear. And it seems that David was the only person willing to fight. Now, to say that the odds were not stacked in David's favour would be a drastic understatement. Humanly speaking, of course. When David offered to fight Goliath, Saul replied, "You are not able." That's confidence for you. Just imagine volunteering to do a job in the church. I could do that. And someone saying to you, "You are not able." That's what Saul said. You see, Saul saw this picture. Here's David. There's Goliath. No chance. That's the picture that Saul saw. You see, to those around him, to those around David, Goliath was perceived as being unbeatable. undefeatable. But if we think this account is just about David versus Goliath, then we're somewhat missing the point. All through the Bible, all through history, has been this continual war, the struggle of good versus evil, right versus wrong. You know, we have a common enemy. We face the same enemy that David did. We don't literally face Goliath, but we do have an adversary of whom we need to be exceptionally careful. The devil is a terrifying foe, and we must be alert at all times, as he will seek to trip us up and destroy us. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." You see, to the devil, you and I are merely prey to be devoured. That was Goliath's attitude. "You're insignificant. I'll be rid of you, and then I'll fight my next enemy." Goliath, however, was on the wrong side. Now, Goliath represented the Philistines. Goliath represented the forces of darkness. You see, with God, there's no sitting on the fence. Goliath didn't come up against David and said, "I come to you in the name of the devil, and I'm going to beat you." But you see, with God, there's no sitting on the fence. Some people think that, well, I don't believe in God, but I'm not against him. It's very clear in Scripture, you're either for God or against God. There's no sitting on the fence. And so here we have this picture, and it's of David and Goliath. But we need to zoom out. There's our picture. We need to zoom out, you see, because there's David, there's Goliath, but David knew that he was coming up against the forces of darkness. Maybe this is the picture that Saul saw. Tiny David, Goliath, and the evil one. You can't win. The evil one is as brash as Goliath. If we go up against the evil one in our own strength, we are sure to fail. Beware, though, that the enemy we face is very cunning. Sometimes he will come up against us a little bit like Goliath did, stomping around and saying, "You Christian, you are defeated and I'm going to beat you." But at other times, our enemy, the evil one, comes right alongside. "You right, mate? How you doing? I like your t-shirt. I don't know if you've seen that TV program. It's on quite late, quite far down the listings. Or maybe this one. "Hey mate, how you doing? I think that thing you did in church was really good, and I think you should be proud of that. And I heard what that other person said to you about it. You know what? I think you should write them a stinking email." We need to be very, very careful. Our enemy will sometimes be very obvious. Sometimes he will be like a friend to us and coerce us into sin so that we almost don't realise we're sinning. Such is his ability to be subtle. We face a formidable foe, and we really must be on our guard. Not very encouraging, is it, so far? Wait for it. So we've seen the enemy we face. We don't literally face Goliath. We face someone so much more terrifying. And if we go up against him in our own strength, we are sure to fail. But the victorious one in this passage that we read, David? Hands up if you think David's the victorious one here. Now, I think you know what's coming. You see, I could have said the victorious ones, the Israelites, they were victorious. And when using the point the victorious one, you'll notice I've got a capital O there. We may be tempted to believe that David was victorious over Goliath, but that isn't strictly true. David himself said this: "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." You see, to David, it was really, really clear. I'm going up against Goliath. But I'm not fighting on my own. I've got the Lord. The God of heaven is with me. Verse 45 to 47, David addresses the Philistine in this way. He says to Goliath, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head." And later he says, "That all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hand." You see, David could have said to Goliath, "You come up against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. I come up against you with a stone and a sling, and I'm going to take you down." He did have a stone. He did have a sling. That's not what brought him the victory. "I come to you in the name of the Lord." The name of the Lord is powerful. There is such power in the name of the Lord. The victorious one here is the Lord. He is the victor. Let's move on. Thirdly, and by way of application, I'd like to address a question. So we've seen the enemy we face, and we've seen the victorious one. How can we be as bold as David? How can we be as bold as David? What if I were to tell you that, like David, you can go up against your adversary and win? Now, your response, if you're anything like me, might be to say something like, "I can't do it. I just can't do it." Like Saul said to David, "You are not able." We have that spirit within it, "I can't do it." David was much more brave than I am. David was much more clever than I am. David was much stronger than I am. David obviously had a stronger faith than I do. We must remember that the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Can we say that together, those five words? The battle is the Lord's. Remember it. Let's say it again. The battle is the Lord's. Amen. David may have been brave, may have been clever, strong, may have had a strong faith. None of those things brought him victory. He trusted in the Lord, and the Lord delivered him. The battle is the Lord's. When King Jehoshaphat learned that a vast army was coming up against him, he sought the Lord. And the Lord responded to him in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. The Lord said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." The battle is the Lord's. We're back to our illustration. Here's David, tiny by this point, as we zoom out. There's Goliath, and Saul says, "You are not able." David has a clear picture and knows who he's up against and knows the defense that he needs, what he needs behind him. And we zoom out again, and it is a poor illustration because, as the Bible tells us, nothing can compare with the Lord. But just to get this into our minds, and remember that tiny picture that Saul saw down here, "You are not able." David had this in his mind. You come up against me with your sword and your spear. Well, I've got the Lord. I've got the Lord. We need to remember, don't we, that with God, all things are possible. This account, this story, is so familiar to us, we're no longer surprised, are we? Of course David won. Of course David won. And the kind of, we're not so struck by it because it's so familiar. But it's remarkable. How could someone that small, with a stone, conquer this man, Goliath? And how can we conquer against the evil one? The answer is the same. The Lord will deliver you. The battle is the Lord's. Thinking about this illustration of Goliath and the Lord and the power and strength behind David. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, talking about the spirits of the Antichrist and the spirits of God, those who confess Jesus as Lord and Saviour and are from God, and those who don't, not being from God. And it says this, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." We're going to come to a time of communion in a moment. Just a few more things. Dear friends, I don't know what giants you are facing. Maybe it's financial worries, unemployment uncertainty, stress, anxiety, depression, trouble in relationships, temptation, that nightmare neighbor, health, even death of yourself or a loved one. But I do know this. He who has kept you to this day will keep you to that day when you see him face to face. The troubles you face may be huge, ginormous, but they can never be greater than the Lord. He is undefeatable. And if you're a Christian, he is on your side. So, as we go into this week and we do face an enemy that we need to be very, very careful of, and we do need to be very sober, we need to be alert, let us remember that the battle is the Lord's.